Hello, this is BitNote with David Collins. Today, we'll be talking about video games and video game music. Hello, after the interview with that games developer last week, I think we'll be going back to basics for this episode and just play some good old-fashioned video game music. So, what's up first? Well, I'll let you listen and hear for yourself. I actually did talk about this game that I'll be talking about this in the near future. Well, that time has come. Here it goes.
Thank you.
and that was the theme tune of Cannibalt. Now, Cannibalt, as I mentioned last week, is another game also made by Adam Atomic, who of course also made Fathom, which we mentioned last week. Cannibalt is a fun game. It's a very simple game. In fact, you play it on your browser, or if they've got iPad apps, of course, because any popular game does, but it's rather simple. You basically play as this guy in a business suit with a tie who runs across the top of buildings, jumping from one building to the other building, while all around him the entire city is being destroyed in what seems to be a catastrophic, gigantic robot invasion. Now, keep in mind, the robots don't actually do much that you know, to do with you. I mean, sometimes a robot will fall from the sky and you have to jump over it. But the entire game focus is you just running across the rooftops and basically jumping at just the right moment so that you can make it across the gaps or make it past crumbling buildings or to jump over all the obstacles. Because if you hit too much obstacles, you slow down. And if you're too slow, you can't jump to the next building. It's a type of game called the one-button game, where essentially you only need one button to play it. They're a lot of fun, and obviously you pick them up pretty quickly. In fact, Cannibalt kind of proved that. It became, for a game that was produced in only about 5 days, it became a huge success. It's hugely popular and just went viral. People kept playing it, trying to see how far they could get their character. You see, after you inevitably fall to your death, or crash into a building, or just don't make the jump, you get a readout of how far distance you travelled in terms of meters. And you even get a nice little customised error message. It doesn't just say you have died, it says something like you have plummeted to your death, or you have mistimed your jump, slammed into the building and fell to your death. You know, it's little touches like that, like the game really understands exactly how you screwed up. Very nice, very nice. So, the game, like I said, the music is composed by Danny B, or Danny Baranski, who also composed the music for Fathom last week. So obviously Adam Atomic and Danny seem to have a nice little friendly, cordial relationship going. You see, it's not like a business relationship. This stuff's too indie. This, when you make a lot of games like Adam Atomic makes and releases them for free, I mean, money's nice, but that's not the only thing in there. So I'm sure they really would like some. But of course, they've got their iPad app and or iPhone, so you can download it. So the music is pretty upbeat, pretty funky, and helps you get in the mood. And then, of course, after you play the game, every time you think of that tune, you just think of that time you mistimed that jump, or all those seagulls that seem to fly off from the building roof whenever you run by. Anyway, I think I've talked enough about Cannibalt. Let's move on to the next track. Now, it was inevitable I was going to play this next track. It's just played too such big a role. It's just known by too many people. It's just so iconic. What I've got is a slightly orchestral version of it. So, you know, it might be slightly different from how people remember it, but it's good. And it was inevitable. Let's see if you can guess where it was, but if you can't, that means you probably don't know your video games. No offense, there's nothing wrong with that. There are a lot of people who live perfectly normal lives without playing video games, and I talk to them every day. But if you don't, then you'll probably have missed out on this one. We'll be right back. Yes, did you guess that one? It is, of course, the classic Doom theme from the classic game Doom, released way back in the early 90s by ID Software. Doom was, oh boy, it shifted it changed so much in the gaming industry. You could go on for ages about it. There's literally a book that's written, not so much about Doom itself, but the guys who made it, made Doom, ID Software. It's called Masters of Doom, so clever title. But I mean, Doom changed so much. I mean, when you played Doom, suddenly it was like you were in another world. It was 3D, whatever that would, but it just opened it up. You'd move around. Everything about the game just soaked with software. I mean, some games, they did one or two great things, and we loved them for that at the time. And then when you get back to it, said, yeah, kind of did this, but games have done this bit better, and maybe it wasn't all that good. But Doom just ekes atmosphere. It ekes. You're basically the plot, if you'd like to, and I call it, use it by that term, relaxed, is essentially that you are a space marine or Marine, whatever, who's landing on a moon of Jupiter, and apparently you were with a whole big group of Marines, but they all went ahead and decided to leave you behind, and they also took every single piece of ammunition, save a single gun with 50 rounds of bullets in it. So you wait in there for a while and you hear their screams of agony, but then you decide, screw it, grab up the gun and go after them. By this stage, you realize that they are a whole lot of demons on the moon. And oh yeah, all your marine friends have been turned into gun shooting zombies. It gets better from there, honestly. It's tense. I mean, back then it was like you had to move from corridor, you quickly switch from weapon to weapon. It defined so much of what has now become known as the first person shooter genre. This is the genre where you go around seeing things from the perspective of your character, and whenever you pull the trigger, a bullet shoots in whatever direction you're looking. It's just The first-person shooter genre has evolved and changed in a lot of ways, but back with Doom, it was just so visceral, especially when you got the chainsaw, boy. Which pretty much brings us to another point, the huge amounts of controversy that Doom generated, and boy. I mean, like a few years back, it was Grand Theft Auto, but back in the early 90s, it was Doom all the way. Maybe Duke Nukem 3D had a bit of things and a few other games, but I mean, this was a game that had people saying that video games made people into Satan worshippers. No kidding. I mean, this is a game. Well, it kind of did throw in a lot of demonic imagery, of course, but you were killing the demons. You weren't trying to respect them. You weren't trying to praise them. No, you were downright killing the demons. So why would a game where you destroy demons make you want to praise them? Then again, I think I've seen some weird stuff about the cult of the Archdemon. But the point is, it was a game that you just. It was violent, yes. There was blood, and you'd often blow stuff up. And on our young, impressionable minds, maybe it wasn't the most healthiest thing we could have been looking at, but damn it, we had fun. And with so many video games, isn't that what really matters? Corrupting our youth, but ensuring they have a much fun time while being corrupted. For a while after Doom was released, a lot of games got called Doom clones, but like I said, eventually they became first-person shooter genre. It's kind of the same. It happens a lot of the time. When a game pretty much defines a genre, for a while afterwards, people just say that every game that's in any way like it is just copying it. Doom wasn't actually the first-person shooter. ID Software had released Wolfenstein 3D before then, and I think technically the first-person shooter in terms of technical things was Battlezone, but yeah, Doom was where for many people it all began. Who cares about technical accuracy? This is the game where you got dirty, grabbed a shotgun, and just blasted, blasted, blasted. And also had to navigate pretty complex mazes and search, looking for humping walls in order to find puzzles. That was a fun thing. A lot of games think that gamers don't want to go around trying to prod every single wall to find secrets, but I think that's an underserved. I think a lot of gamers would still like to do it these days. So, why don't we move on from such an iconic, such a brilliant, such a controversial, and such a iconic game? Because whenever people are looking over the history of video games, Doom, oh boy. for all the recognition that Doom has and has received, I don't actually think enough people know who actually composed that tune, by the way. It was by a guy called Robert Prince, or Bobby Prince as he's often called. He actually has done a lot of video game tracks around that era for other games, other ID Software games, and other games around the time like Spear of Destiny and Wolfenstein 3D. It's actually funny, he's not just a video game composer, he also passed the bar, he's a lawyer, and he was a platoon leader in Vietnam. Kind of funny that a guy would go into a real conflict and then, which, you know, real people dying, and then suddenly start making video game music for games where a lot of virtual people die. I don't know. I guess everyone has their own opinion when it comes to war. I wouldn't know. I've never been in one. But, you know, respect, because he made some damn good tunes. All right. Why don't we move on to another little track? This is from a slightly obscure game, but I like it. And I think more people should like it, to be honest, because, damn it, it's just so underappreciated. But, you know, some people know about it, and here it is anyway. Yes, another slightly abrupt ending. Sorry about that. It was meant to loop. A lot of these tracks are meant to loop and makes it easier. But that, my friend, is from the classic indie game Gish by Chronic Logic, which was developed by Edmund McMillan, who developed other games, including the other recent indie hit Super Meat Boy. The music itself was composed by Tim Solmans and Jeff Attridge of Game Audio Magic. And I really like that vibe it's going. Somewhat smooth, somewhat, you know, a little bit of sax in there. It's for the first level, the sewers. You see, the game Gish, you are basically a pound of tar. You are tar. Literally, this ball of tar, and you control it around the screen. And the fun thing is that you can manipulate yourself in a lot of different ways. The plot is that your girlfriend has been kidnapped. The game kind of makes fun about how a girl and a pound of tar could suddenly have a meaningful relationship, but you know, obviously it takes place in a very tolerant, well, not tolerant, but open-minded and liberal world, and even the game credits if you win the game and explains how the law was changed just to make an exception for you guys, which is nice. But the idea is your girlfriend's been kidnapped, you're a ball of tar, and you have to go rescue her using all these, going deep down into the sewers and down into these under caverns and basically this ancient underground civilization. The fun thing about the gameplay mechanics is how you can use all the different attributes of the tar. You can suddenly become solid, or you can slippery, or stick to things. So that's kind of one of the fun things you can do. You can suddenly make yourself sticky and then climb up walls, gradually roll up walls, or you can make yourself very slippery and then suddenly skate down the slope and get really, really fast speed. And the fun thing is that there are like four different attributes you control about yourself, like how strong, how hard you are, how slippery you are, how well you stick to things. And yeah, I try to mix this. Sometimes I try to mix the sticky and slippery attributes at the same time. It's kind of a fun effect. And essentially, you have to build up momentum because there's a lot of physics, and just bounce and slip and smash and flip your way through the whole level and hopefully get to the end. In the end, hopefully save your girlfriend. Also find out who kidnapped her in the first place, which turns out to be a rather interesting answer. But anyway, you also meet a bunch of people who seem to recognize you and you don't know about. But it doesn't really matter because you kill them in a few moments later in the official boss fight. Yeah, don't worry, they're not humans. Not sure that makes it any better, though. They're sentient beings in the context of the game world. But, you know, what is a video game if it doesn't let you kill huge or destroy huge amounts of enemies? And they say video games might desensitize people. Anyway, it's got a fun aesthetic, and you got all these gnashing things, and it's just part of the whole gameplay is how you flip between all the different attributes. And just one of the whole things about the game is if you do it well, there can be a level, and maybe the first time you play it, you sort of stick up, you try to crawl up this wall, and then you might slip, and then you pull, and then you jump because you have to, like, you jump like a spring, you have to build up the momentum and jump and bounce, and then after like a few minutes working, you might finally manage to make it up this chute and then across this platform and onto the next bit. And, you know, you'll get it okay. But after a while, you start to play it more and you start to get into the groove of things. And then that's when you build up the rhythm. And that's when things go really well, because then you'll suddenly fly through things. You'll suddenly roll up and then you'll bounce and then you'll hit a group at the right moment and then stick and then flip yourself up, and then you'll just know which one to put at the right moment. Bounce, it's like a ballet. You'll flip through the level, get right up to the top, suddenly throw yourself into the air over the next group and down to the finishing line. And that's great, because if a video game could make you, like, get better at something or get more confident or make you realize, hey, wait a sec, I wasn't that good at it, with time and practice I was able to get better at it and I really feel it, then I think that's a great thing. And with Gish's physics, there are many different ways you can do it, which makes it even more fun. That's one of the reasons I feel it's underappreciated, because I think once you get into it, it's very rewarding. But of course, that's one of the problems, if it's a little tricky to get into in the first place, so a lot of people weren't that keen on it. Also, some people were calling it out for various... I think it's also one of those games where there might be more than one way of solving a problem, but a lot of people are fixated on one method. They might need to change over to another method that might be better. But like I said, four different attributes you're combining, it's tricky enough. So, we're moving on to our last game now, our last game and game music track, and what it is from a video game called Runaway, a road adventure by Pendulo Studios, a Spanish games developer, and the track I'm about to give you was composed by David Garcia Morales and was sung by Liquor, a singer. Yes, it's alcoholic beverage. Runaway, a Road Adventure is a fun game. It's a point-and-click adventure game. I've talked about these sort of games before. You get to click and you get to talk to characters and you have to solve puzzles. And in this case, you're kind of a geeky guy who's making his way west to from New York to California. And on the way, you just as you're picking up this returning a library book, you suddenly get caught up with this girl who's suddenly running away from all these bad guys. And so And apparently she's on this quest about this ancient artifact, and suddenly you end up teaming up and going on a crazy adventure, one that involves, you know, escaping from hospitals and finding ancient civilizations and even exploring this old West town. It's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of nice little puzzles you have to solve as well. And the animation is nice too. Most of the backgrounds are hand-drawn, and the front is, and most of the characters are 3D modeled, but they've got this cel shading style that makes them look like they're cartoons, which is a very nice aesthetic. A lot of people say that the adventure game genre died out in the in the late 90s, especially when LucasArts Games shut down development of the Sam and Max series and Full Throttle was released and didn't receive that much success. But I always found that even in well into the noughties, there were a lot of European studios that were releasing pretty good quality adventure games. Other games include, for instance, The Longest Journey, and of course, Pendulo Studios. I think Siberia was another good example of an adventure game around that time. But Runaway was fun. It was fun, light-hearted, there were nice characters, and you just had a good time going through the whole things. Like any adventure game, you could sometimes get stuck or not sure what exactly you were meant to do next. But, you know, if you made the effort, most of the time you get it through, and if you couldn't figure it out, there was always looking online and finding a walkthrough. The The game actually spawned two sequels, Runaway 2, Dream of the Turtle, and Runaway 3, A Twist of Fate. I'll have to play fully through those sometime and give you my opinion, but I'll tell you, what I can say is Runaway is certainly a good road adventure. So, I'll play the main theme right now, and with that I guess I'll say goodbye. So, thank you for listening. This has been BitNote with David Collins. Hope you enjoyed listening.